And welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Thank you, Dave. Nick McNamara here in studio for Brandon Peoples. We've been teasing it throughout the morning. He's off on good dad duty, so you'll hear from him again tomorrow. He's off celebrating his daughter's birthday. And we're going to have a wonderful morning for you today. Later in the show, I'm going to sort of give a little bit of programming notes. Coming up, we'll have Manhattan Military Relations Committee, Military Community Liaison, Janet Nichols in studio with us. She might be actually on the phone. I'm just so used to saying in studio that that's what comes out of my mouth. But we'll have Janet Nichols here to talk to us about the upcoming January MRC luncheon and other things going on with the Military Relations Committee. But first, we're going to be here for about 30 minutes with folks from Manhattan Parks and Recreation and the Flint Hills Discovery Center. On the line with us is Molly Mayberry. She is the Recreation Supervisor for Humanities. Molly, thanks for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, thank you. And also in studio, we have Stephen Bridenstine. I don't know why my voice is struggling with me today. Flint Hills Discovery Center Assistant Director. Stephen, thanks for coming in.
It's great to be here, Nick.
And congratulations. I know Dave wanted me to talk to you a little bit about some of your personal stuff. I just want to say congrats on, one, your marriage last year, and then some of the recent news that I've learned this morning about potentials. Well, I don't know if this is something you want to talk about on air yet, but
no,
I'm going to kick the ball in your court to either accept or reject the
No, it's fine.
News.
Well, you already queued me up, so no, the wife and I are expecting. So, you know, we might have a little future wildcat on the way, so... My wife is a double graduate of K-State, and I'm a K-State student myself right now, so we may have a whole family of Wildcats here soon.
Well, very wonderful.
Yay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, though, of course. And Molly in here giving you some congratulations as well. Congrats, of course. Love to hear it. And we were joking a little bit about how it's not going to be a New Year's baby unless, like, some very odd things happen in the course of pregnancy.
Well, yes. We're hoping the normal 9 months, please.
Yes, of course. Definitely. And it is on the heels of, like, holiday season here. So I did want to get a chance before we got into some serious business to hope your holidays were well and ask if you had a good time, Molly, Steve, and if you have anything you want to talk about or share just in terms of your thoughts post-holiday. You know, the pre-holiday thing is one thing. How did your holidays go for you now that you're through them?
Oh, it was wonderful. I actually took last week off and headed to Kansas City for a few days. It was really wonderful and restful, but I am super excited for 2022 and everything that we've got going on at work and in my personal life, too. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
And we teased a little bit about some of the things you got to look forward to, Stephen. But
yeah,
holidays-wise, post-cap.
Yeah, holidays were good. Worked a lot of the holidays because we do some holiday programs like our New Year's Eve event at the Discovery Center. But I did get to fly out to see family in Chicago, and it was interesting. You hope that your flight doesn't get delayed or canceled, and we almost signed up for one of those bump you off the flight and get a huge flight voucher. But in the end, we took the flight anyway back to Manhattan. But yeah, it was a full flight. Every seat on the plane back to Manhattan was full. So we made it back in time.
I was a little worried I'd be stuck in Dallas for a while, but that did not happen also, wonderfully. So, you know, glad your holidays went well, glad your travel went well, and glad you're all both back here so we can have a wonderful conversation with you this morning. So, Stephen, you're off the hook for a little while. We're going to talk to you at the second half of the segment or the second half of our conversation after the break. And we're going to talk to Molly here for a little while. There's a lot of things going on in terms of job postings, board meetings, but there's a lot of fun things going on that I thought might be good to talk about first. But before we get into some of the upcoming activities, there's some things going on right now or maybe had just gone on, such as like the first day hike and some Christmas
Correct.
Tree recyclings.
So our first day hike is scheduled for January 1st every year, was canceled due to weather last weekend, our fun little snowstorm. So that is being postponed until January 8th. It'll be at 10:30 a.m. at Tuttle Creek State Park. It's going to be a 2-mile family-friendly hike, mostly even easy terrain. It is free. You do not need to register for it. It includes a t-shirt, hot chocolate, and coffee while supplies last. There will also be a chance to win prizes such as like gift cards from Manhattan Town Center, sleeping bags, other kind of various camping gear. And then everyone will need to just meet at the state park office before the hike begins. It will be a $5 per vehicle. You'll need a state park vehicle permit to enter, but those are available at the entrance. So you don't need to get that in advance. And the Kansas State Parks and AmeriCorps will have food donation boxes there as well for non-perishable food items to help local area food banks. So weather updates will be sent out via Facebook on the day of the event on January 8th. So if we have another snowstorm or ice storm or something, we will let you know. But yeah, that should be happening this Saturday.
It's a little unfortunate to have the first day hike kind of be delayed to not necessarily the first day, but you still have a great opportunity to get out there if you're the hiking type, enjoy the outdoors and perhaps a little bit of a warmer climate on the 8th.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And that's always a really fun event for us. So.
And also, as we talk about sort of the aftermath of holidays, there are a lot of things that end up being left over as we wrap up, like Christmas, aside from New Year's, particularly that tree is always one of those things you have to tackle once you're done.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say my Christmas tree is still up. I just haven't gotten it down yet. But yeah, so we are doing a Christmas tree recycling drop-off that is open now and through Monday, January 31st. It's going to be located in Longs Park on the northeast corner. There is a fenced off area. You can just go and drop your tree off whenever you get a chance. It is for real trees only. No plastic bags, no tinsel or lights or decorations left on it. Please just take your empty dying tree to Longs Park and we'll get it recycled for you.
And is there anything else in addition to that needs to be, people need to be aware of? Are there any fees, anything associated with that? Or you just show up, bring your tree and you're done?
Just show up, bring your tree, drop it off and leave. It's totally free through January 31st.
Very good. Very good. And I know there's some programs out there that involve ways that these trees are recycled. What ends up happening with these trees once you go ahead and get them there at the facility? What do they go off to some elephants or anything like that? Where do they go? Oh, and we lost her on the line. That was interesting. Let me see if I can get her back real quick. But otherwise, we're going to have an interesting little segment here. Let me pull this up real quick. Someone appears to have logged us out of our Zoom call mid-session. And I can see what is going on here. Well, I think we're going to transition, and we're going to go ahead and do a small conversation with Stephen Bridenstine first, and we're going to get into some of our details that we were going to put off until the next segment right now as we work to get Molly back on the line, hopefully sooner than later. That'll probably be as we get into the break, if possible. So Stephen, let's talk a little bit about some of the things going on at the Discovery Center. There's a number of events coming up. And, of course, as you mentioned before, as we were talking about sort of how the holidays went for us, you did just have an event that went on at the Discovery Center as well related to New Year's.
Yeah, it was our family New Year's Eve event. So we were very excited to be doing this event. We last did it back in 2019, so we weren't able to do it in 2020. So it was a prehistoric party. It was all dinosaur-themed. It was to also celebrate the end of our Dinosaur Discoveries exhibit, which just closed yesterday. It was the final day. But yeah, New Year's Eve was a huge, huge fun party. We had almost 200 people in the building, families. We had all kinds of dinosaur-themed activities. So it was a huge hit, and I know all the families had a good time. So that was New Year's Eve here, and now we're just looking forward to the new year.
And I saw some of the photos. I believe it was Mayor Wynn Butler who posted some of the photos on Facebook of the balloon drop.
Yeah.
Such a fun element of that, too, because I know some of the New Year's festivities that go on can be very adult-centric. Mm-hmm. Having something like that for kids just seems like a great addition to the whole holiday festivities in the area.
Absolutely. You know, it's when you look at the New Year's Eve event, you know, there are options around town in our community for the adults to go out and have a fun time. But when we started this program back in 2015, there was no kid family-centric New Year's Eve event. And so it was successful back then at our first year. We said, hey, there's a community need for this, for families to get out and have a fun time to celebrate the new year. So we've been doing it every year since, and it's a real fun evening. It's probably one of, if not my favorite program we do at the Discovery Center.
Now, coming up as we enter the new year, you know, there's an important element or an important sort of anniversary to commemorate, and it's the 10-year anniversary of the center. What are some of the things that are going to be going on in like relation to that anniversary?
Sure. So 2022, this is the 10-year anniversary of the Flint Hills Discovery Center. So we're calling it, it's a decade of discovery. And we're very excited. We opened on April 14th of 2012. So we do have an anniversary date. The tricky thing is that it falls on Easter week this year, which I'm sure is something they never planned 10 years ago. But so we're kind of going to be doing a little bit of a celebration there on the week of, on the day, on April 14th. But we're going to have some other celebrations and commemorations in and around that period. We're also going to be doing some things in the lead up to the anniversary date in April, and then also doing things all throughout the year commemorating our 10-year anniversary. So, you know, I'm very lucky that I've been there for 7 out of these 10 years, and I've seen the Discovery Center grow and evolve over that decade. And I know many people in this community have seen it as well. You know, I wasn't lucky enough to see the building go up and see all the evolution of it. But I know for a lot of people, it's hard to imagine downtown Manhattan without Blue Earth Plaza, without the Conference Center, without all the new development that happened in that project. And the Discovery Center, in a lot of ways, was that pivotal element to the project to bring in those star bonds, to get the funding, to do all this redevelopment. And so, you know, we obviously are very proud of what we do at the Discovery Center, but this is an anniversary for downtown Manhattan, for everything that is new and great that we love about our city, that we all sort of, in a way, take for granted that we've got all these wonderful things downtown. So we're looking forward to doing this celebration all throughout the year.
Yeah, definitely. And I must say that it is one of the places I just, whenever I have visitors come to town, I feel like it's one of the stops we have to make. It's like, as we go, you know, there's plenty of different restaurants and food options. Of course, the university we have to go check out. But it just seems like one of the places I always gravitate back towards, especially when, you know, when my parents come to town, things like that. It's just always such a fun place to go to.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, having a building like we have right at the corner of 3rd and Colorado, when you come over the bridge off the highway, whether you're coming in for a football game or a family event or anything, you know, the fact that we're the first thing you see when you come over that bridge is by design, because we really want to set ourselves apart as a city and as a community, as someplace that really does cherish this environment that we live in here. You know, we're very lucky that, you know, whether it's at K-State with all the research that happens there, all of the ranchers who work in our region and in our community, that we're at the heart of the Flint Hills here in Manhattan. And I think that our mission over the years has been really to teach people about that and make sure that, you know, when you think about Manhattan and where you are and where you are in the world, that you have an understanding and you can say, well, yeah, I know where I'm from in the world. And so we're very proud to be part of that.
Well, Stephen, we're going to continue with some more things going on at the Flint Hills Discovery Center. We'll also try to get Molly back online, talk about some of the winter activities going on with Parks and Rec coming up here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.